We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs on the Record at O'Brien and Levine all week long, featuring the best litigators of Boston. And I'm here flanked to my left with Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. If anybody knows litigators, it's Mark. As I said before, the man who's interviewed 10,000 lawyers.
Well, Jeff, this is a treat. As I've said to you, during this whole week of madness and play, I feel like it's the playoffs and the Super Bowl and the World Series.
It's the March Madness of lawyers.
It's wonderful.
That's
and
good.
And our next guest is continues with that all-star tradition.
Catherine Michon, right?
Correct.
Hartley, Michon, and Rob.
Correct.
Great.
Thank you.
So, but you're going to talk to us today about employee litigation, right?
Sure.
Right.
Absolutely.
I was involved with one of those.
Uh-oh.
No, I was an expert witness. Loved the case.
Okay, good.
Loved the case. Good. Shouldn't have been fired.
Absolutely never should have been fired.
Not never, but this case, no, don't do it that way. So tell us about your practice.
Okay, let's see. I represent mostly individuals who have some type of problem with their current or former employer. It can be anything from a discrimination matter, someone who is alleging discrimination based on age or sex or disability, sexual harassment matter, someone who's being harassed at work from either a supervisor or a coworker. It can be a non-compete matter, someone who is possibly violating their non-compete obligations with their former employer. It can be a whistleblowing matter. So anything that has to do with the employment setting, usually we handle. We don't handle workers' comp cases or labor cases. We do focus more on the executive and help executives with their employment agreements, negotiating in. Many times people don't realize how important that agreement is to make sure you have all your obligations, that you know what the obligations are, and you have from the employer what their obligations are for when you leave the employer. And that can sometimes get messy. We help them when they're exiting too. And hopefully they have a good employment agreement that helps them when they exit. So we help in all facets of the employment situation.
Excellent. When you talk about you don't represent labor, meaning union.
Correct.
Type, right.
Correct. Right. That's and a whole other facet of area. Yeah.
It's a specialty on
its
own, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Well, it's a collective, isn't it?
Yeah, collective bargaining issues. But that's just really not what
versus
we focus
individual.
On.
You protect
right.
the individual.
Right. Usually executives, but anyone who is not in a union in their employment setting.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just a more usually it's a more successful whether it's an executive. You also represent doctors, lawyers, anything anything in the employment area that touches on employee
right.
needs.
Well, right. You know, speaking lawyers, from doctors, right. partners in law firms. Right. right.
Speaking from the management consultant's perspective. Most people don't know what they're doing when it comes to management. And they do and say the wrong things to employees without even knowing. And they
well,
let them
that's
go
what
for
gives me
reasons.
Business. So that's the wonderful right. thing, right? I mean, what the biggest problems that employers have is that managers do not know how to properly terminate an employee.
Or manage.
Or manage. Or how to, you know, right,
feedback.
Help someone along, give them feedback, and then surprise them and say, you're gone and there's a door and, you know, we're going to exit, we're going to wrap you up your personal stuff and kick you out the door today, you know, and then obviously that makes them turn to an attorney, and then things happen. So,
and there are proper ways to do it. It's just most people don't know how to handle this properly.
I think that's true.
Right.
I think that's true.
You know what I'm also finding today is obviously we're in a society that we have now harassment. I mean, I remember years ago where we worked with a lot of women, and we were exiting them out of law firms, and they said, well, I don't want to be known as a whistleblower, so I don't want companies or firms to know the real reason why I'm leaving. So we would say, oh, she wants a bigger firm, she wants a smaller firm, that type of thing. And so these issues of over time worked out in the marketplace, and people know what the codes are now. But the new thing that I'm finding from being in the business are when companies say, well, we really want somebody with 5 to 10 years experience. And as you know, you hit a certain level, everybody's at the same experience. So actually, literally, which ironically, it's something I'm referring to you, is having a situation where I had a friend of mine went on an interview, and you know, they said to her, "Oh, you have a great background, but we really only want somebody with 10 to 15 years background." She's one of the top healthcare executives, but she's got about 25 years. So obviously, we know what that means. Now, what's interesting is you can't ask somebody their age anymore. You can't find out their marital status, religion, but you can look and say, okay, these people have this amount of years experience, and you can say, we only want this, or we only need a 2 to 6 year associate. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I mean, that is a problem that exists in society today. Age
right.
discrimination definitely exists. Employers are getting smarter on how to say that. They don't ask how old you are anymore. Everyone knows you don't ask that question. But one way to get around that is to ask how many years of experience. At the same time, that's a valid question.
I mean,
some things you need someone with 10 years experience. Some years you don't need that much experience.
Right.
So
right.
it's a tricky area.
You know, I like it that it's about work and it's about productivity. But, you know, you listen to people, left-wing people like Bill Maher, who says it's gone too far to political correctness.
Mm.
You know, off the legal record, do you feel it's gone a little too far, a little bit of our political correctness? You know, you can't say anything on the work site. It's very hard to acknowledge diversity in the workplace. You know, I speak to some of my kids who are older and they're in the workplace, and I talk to them about diversity, and they go, "No, Dad, that's not right." And I'm talking to my own kids privately.
Right.
They don't, and I go, "How can you not acknowledge diversity? I mean, for a long time, that's what we were teaching."
Right. No, I don't see a problem with acknowledging diversity. But I'd also disagree that it's come that you know, it's too PC. I think we've come a long way. I mean, it used to be that a woman could be sexually harassed in the workplace and nobody said anything. And if we weren't out there and making it okay, you know, for women to come forward and saying certain things are not okay, we'd have a lot of problems in the workplace. So I think you got to take the good with the bad with that.
Right. The pendulum swings.
Yeah.
And it needed to swing. Having worked for a lot of women earlier in my career, women get away with stuff too. And they get away with it easier than men do.
Oh boy. I don't know. I mean, there are so many subjective.
I've been around some pretty tough female mean bosses early
sure.
in my career.
Sure.
And they really let it go.
Sure. And you know, and if the man in the workplace was that tough, he'd just be a tough man, right?
Oh, no.
But
if
a female is tough, then she's she's.
I agree with you that that's somebody else talking, but you know, I don't think that's true of me. I grew up in a female-dominated home.
Mm-hmm.
I have a serial entrepreneurial wife. So does Mark. Mark's got a power wife, power plus cubed wife. We both encourage it, but sometimes I think that it's easier for a woman to get away with playing around on the edges than a man. That's all I'm going to say. And I see that as a management consultant, too. When a woman complains about a male boss, everybody believes them.
Interesting.
And it's interesting because, as you know, we do legal support, too.
Right.
And a lot of legal secretaries will say, "I don't want to work for a woman."
Interesting.
So it is interesting. I mean, just at the same time, I mean, I think I was listening to somebody talk about one of Michelle Obama's daughters, and they talked about the word, you know, bossy. Well, bossy, if it was a guy, obviously he's a leader. If it's a female, you know, it's right. So there's definitely a balance, but it's just interesting. I agree with Jeff, there are some women that are so tough, they cause the exit of people, and they could, if the person's supporting them, there could be issues versus a man, but it is a balance.
Well,
you know,
I'm not complaining really, but you know, some of the baby boomer generation women I know, I almost feel like to get ahead, they had to overcompensate.
That's true.
Right.
Right.
And to this day, what I tell them is in an executive role or a coaching or advisory role, is you don't have to overcompensate anymore.
Sometimes you do. I think that's still a problem that women face.
Right.
And I think, you know, we're still going to have a society that discriminates, discriminates.
All the time.
But to your point, you know, there's good managers and they're bad managers, and some of them are female and some of them are male, right? It's just the reality.
You know, it's funny, you know, you're making me think about the elections.
Right.
And what's going on? They all work for the same organization, the Republicans. But they're definitely harassing each other.
Oh, my
goodness.
They're
definitely discriminating against each other.
Right.
And it's amazing that they actually do get away with this stuff. And I'm not saying any names, but they do get away with what you shouldn't be getting away with on the work site.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah. Yep, I agree.
Well, you know something I also think is in each generation, things change. And just in terms of who's now the leader of newspapers and the media. For example, I've been watching The People versus O.J. Simpson, and it's interesting. You look at poor Marcia Clark, that in those days, just like with Hillary Clinton, it was all about the hairstyle and this and that.
What she was wearing. What was she wearing today?
Right. As opposed to a guy that this is the last thing people aren't going to ask. They might joke about it, but nobody's asked Trump about on a regular basis his hair or whatever. It's done in just. Right. I mean, it's just so
he
I agree
like
with
a
it.
Clown.
There's still definite issues. And what do you feel are your most active areas that you're involved in now in as you represent executives?
Sorry for taking you off base.
That's okay. I enjoyed that. I think the two areas of my practice right now that are really busy, and I think it says a lot about the economy, is high-level executives, you know, presidents, CEOs, leaving companies and joining other companies, and then all that goes along with that, you know, their non-compete obligations, their equity, making sure that the agreements protect them, and realizing how much leverage that they have to negotiate. And some of that leverage is not legal, you know, making them understand that they're wanted at this new employer, and now is the time to negotiate what that means and helping them push the funds.
I see family shareholders doing that.
Yep.
Not just shareholders going into other business. I've seen family members get into side ventures.
Oof.
And they're, you know, and I say, you can't do that. Well, it's not part of the business. I'm just invest. I go, you can't do that. You have an obligation first to your existing
partners.
That
makes some difficult dinner conversations, right?
Right. But they don't tell their siblings because they don't want to fight.
Right.
And I go, you better tell them because your obligation to them as a shareholder's first.
Yeah, shareholder stuff can get pretty nasty because it's more like divorce issues. It's very, very personal, right?
Right. So how did you get into this practice in the first place? I mean, I love it. It's complicated. It's emotional. It's legal. It's got a lot of layers to it, and that's why I like it.
Yeah.
I get it from the other end.
Yeah.
How did you get into this?
I think I went to law school not knowing what I wanted to do, and I took an employment law class and said, okay, this is it. And I think what drew me to it was the personal part of it. It's the law, and you have to learn the law, and you have to know the law. But it's really the personal contact that you have. I see 4 or 5 new clients every week with different problems and become part of their lives and solve those problems and watch them come into my office crying and then leave happy. You know, that's the part that I love. I do. I love making a difference in people's lives. So
you
it's
know,
using
it's nice
the law.
It's nice to be a hero.
It's nice to be a hero.
I don't think it's got a psychological problem or a cliche. It is nice to be a hero.
It's nice
people.
To make a difference in someone's life. Right. It really truly is.
And it's
is.
Nice to take care of people who aren't good at taking care of themselves.
At a time when they need your help
and
because of the what you've seen and how it can be done, that you can make a difference is you know, makes you want to get up and go to work every day.
Well, you know, what I think, if you're a very good employee attorney like Catherine is, it's very special in terms of the interconnectedness that you find with we find sometimes with family attorneys. If you do your job right, then they will leave with a smile, because it's not about crash and burn. It's looking at a situation. And in your case, you're looking sometimes on the wall and there's a huge mess on the wall, and you work to clean that up. And the resolution, as Jeff knows, a lot of times where there's a smile, it's not about winning a case. It's helping this person get back to work or getting them in a better teed up to their next job or whatever.
Put them in a space where they don't have ongoing conflict.
Right.
In a clean space to start over again. Because conflict wears you down.
Right. It's a lot of it is problem solving, too, is figuring out, okay, what is the win-win here? You know, obviously it's a relationship that has broken down many times. And so, you know, obviously your client is looking for compensation for that. But what in return does the employer want? Well, they want the person to be quiet and not say anything bad about them anymore. And, You know, so finding out how you can get both sides to reach that agreement and move forward is part of the hard part.
Well, we've run out of time, and I'm sorry, because you clearly have some talent and compassion. If someone wants to find you, how would they do that?
They can email me at kmichon, Hartley Michon Rob, and they can find us on the web on our webpage.
Great.
And your phone number?
Oh, 617-447-2802. That's my direct line.
Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
We're
going to
take a quick break, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be right back after these messages.